This program is presented by a community producer through Midland Community Television. The City of Midland and MCTV are not responsible for the content of the program. The views presented do not necessarily represent those of the City of Midland or MCTV. If you would like to produce your own program, contact MCTV at 837-3474 or access our website, cityofmidlandmi.gov/MCTV.
Hi, welcome to Free to One Connection. We have Kevin Hyde talking about safe and sound child protection. So, welcome to the show, Kevin.
Thank you. Good to see you.
So, how did you get involved with Safe and Sound Child?
Yeah, so I'm relatively new to Safe and Sound Child Advocacy Center. I've been there since June.
Wow. Prior
to that, I was the director at the Midland Community Center, so I've been in the community a long time, but relatively new to the Child Advocacy Center.
So, what do you do at the center?
Yep, so I'm the executive director there. So I have a staff team of three individuals. We have somebody who does a lot of prevention work in the community. We have a forensic interviewer, and then we have a victim advocate on our staff team. And then we also work with some local interns. This year we have three individuals from SVSU working with us, which is really good for us and
wow.
Great for them to learn and get an experience within our organization.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yep. So, what is child abuse?
Yeah, so child abuse comes in a lot of different ways, and it's one of those things that's in every community, unfortunately. It could be actual physical abuse, which is what most people think of when they hear child abuse, but it can also be neglect. So kids that aren't getting fed or getting their basic needs met. And then there's also emotional abuse, when parents or other people treat kids in a way that isn't very good for them developmentally. So it's a lot of different things when you talk about child abuse.
Yeah, that's sad.
It is very sad, and they're very vulnerable. You know, kids don't know any different, and a lot of times they'll internalize it and they think it's their fault. They think it's something they've done to deserve that, but that's never true.
Yeah.
It's never their fault.
Yeah, that's really amazing that you have this job to protect those children.
Yeah, and I have a great team and a lot of community supporters. So we work very closely with Child Protective Services, Community Mental Health, the Shelter House, and then very closely with the prosecuting office and then law enforcement to make sure if there are any kids that have ever been abused, that they're engaged in the process to make sure that there's justice for that kid and they can start that healing process. So
wow.
It takes the whole community to do the work that we do at the Safe and Sound.
Wow, congratulations.
Thank you.
Yep. So, how does Safe and Sound work with trauma for child abuse?
Yeah, so the trauma is something that kids are gonna have to deal with for a long time. And it's not just the child that's going through that trauma. It's that parent or that caregiver that didn't know those bad things were happening to their child. So they're also affected when a child is abused. So our staff go through a lot of trainings and a lot of workshops and work with a lot of our partner agencies so that when something does occur, we're able to work with that child, give them a voice so they can share what happened and believe them, you know, and that's one of the hardest things is kids don't feel like people listen and they feel like they're making it up and they're not. Those kids have been through something, so our staff are trained to be able to listen to the kids and give them a voice so that they can share with us what happened so they can start that healing process from whatever that traumatic experience was.
Yeah, that's sad. But I'm really glad that you're here today talking about the Safe and Sound Cyber Protection.
Yeah, and we're really fortunate that we have a lot of great community supporters.
Yes.
And we get funding through the federal and state government.
Okay.
But we also get funding through local foundations. We just received a grant through the 100 Club, the 100 Women's Club, which was fantastic because that allowed us to provide these services free of charge to families.
Wow.
You know, because the last thing you want to do is cause additional undue burden for families by saying, oh, and this is going to cost you. We need them to be able to come in and know that we're there to care for them and help them through this and get them the justice that they need.
Wow. That's powerful. So is there training for adults to learn about protecting children from child abuse?
Yeah, that's a great question, and we're not the only one that provides training along these lines. Community Mental Health and Child Protective Services does a lot of work in that area too, but one of the programs that we provide is Darkness to Light. So that's really geared towards adults to help them better understand signs and symptoms so they can identify when child abuse is happening or even neglect. And then we provide them ways to make sure that they let that child know that somebody is out there that can help them. And then they report that to Child Protective Services, and then they take it from there to see what those next steps are. So that's a great training so that people understand what child abuse is and also then what to do if they do think something is happening.
Wow. That's amazing. That really is amazing.
Yeah, and it's really important, and that's one of the things that we do and a lot of people don't understand about our services is we do both that prevention end and that intervention. You know, so we really try to do that advocacy piece in providing information so people can be aware of those things to help protect kids before it happens.
Okay.
But then also if something does happen, then we're able to intervene and make sure that child's voice is heard and that we get them the services that they need so they can heal.
Wow. So that needs a lot of help.
Yes.
Yes.
And it takes the whole community. It's not just our team that can get those things done. We work very closely with the shelter house, who provides care for those adults that maybe have been through domestic abuse or those people that just need to get out of a bad situation. So we work in tandem with other agencies to make sure that all of the family's needs are met.
So is there a story about Safer to Send that impacted someone in a big way?
Yeah, all the time. You know, it's one of those things that, you know, it's hard when they have to come in, you know,
yes.
And all of the people that come to see us are referrals. So they come through Child Protective Services or law enforcement or the prosecuting office, you know, so they can gather additional information to make sure that child can get the justice that they need and that family can move forward. And we really become a safe haven for kids. You know, and an example, in the short time that I've been there, a child had come in for some of our services, had left, and our staff do follow-ups with them as, you know, making sure they're following up with their resources or going to the therapy and the things that they feel they need. And the child was having a difficult day, so came back to the center just as a safe place that he could come and play without being worried that something bad was going to happen to him.
Wow.
So above and beyond just that moment when they're there, it gives kids a way to process, there is a safe place for me. People do care about me and they want me to be in a good spot.
Wow. Really amazing, but so sad about abuse.
Yes. It is very sad. And one thing that we have to just tell ourselves is those things are going to happen in every community, unfortunately, even here in Midland County.
Yes.
There's cases of child abuse and neglect. But what's great is there's resources out there for families. And that's why I'm glad I'm able to be here today to talk to you so that more people know about these services, because there's a lot of families that just don't know where to turn. You know, a child comes forward and says something to a parent, and that parent needs to know, or that grandparent or friend or a loved one needs to know, there's places they can go. You know, and that starts with Child Protective Services or with law enforcement. And then our team gets involved to make sure that that kid's voice is heard so that it's not just brushed aside or you'll be okay. Because kids aren't going to just be okay. They need to be able to talk about what happened, process that, and be able to move forward. And then we need to make sure that those kids are not still in that bad situation, in a place where bad things can happen to them.
Wow. How can they handle hearing all the sad stories about abuse?
Yeah, and it is difficult, you know, because you do hear a lot of really terrible things that you couldn't even imagine, you know, a parent or a loved one doing to a child. You know, and that's where that training really steps in, that our staff are able to listen and provide that opportunity for that child to express those feelings. And then know, be rest assured that that kid is going to be given the opportunity to have the resources and the avenues to be able to start the healing process. But it starts with them having somebody that believes in them and allows them to tell people what happened in a comfortable environment. And that's what's great about our location, is they're not going into, you know, a hospital and then going to another location and then going into law enforcement and retelling that story a bunch of different times. They're able to share that story one time with a caring adult, and then everybody else gets that information. So the prosecutor, law enforcement, they're all a part of that interview process, but then it's only a one-on-one with that child for the actual interview. And then all of that information is then used by the prosecutor and law enforcement so they can then do their job of making sure that child is protected. So it's a great partnership. Not any one of us could do this on our own to the same level. So it's really important that that child has a safe place to go to be able to tell their story so that we can get them the resources they need.
Wow. Does the Safe and Sound have volunteers and donations?
Great. I'm glad you asked that. We could always use support, both financial and volunteers. And we have an upcoming big national event in April is Child Abuse Protection Month. And they're really focused in on strong kids, strong families, and strong communities this year. And we're going to be hosting an event with our partners over at the Great Lakes Loons on April 21st. And all of our kids are going to get capes, and they get to run the bases like a superhero.
That's fun.
Get a little certificate and everything for participating in that. So we could always use volunteers for that event. And then we have our big fundraiser coming up on May 9th. And we partnered with Creative 360 for that event. And that's really our big fundraising and advocacy event so that people know who we are and what we do, but also gives individuals and businesses a chance to make contributions to make sure that these services are available for all kids in our community at no charge to those families. So those are really the two biggest things. And then we do have a wish list on our website. Of things that we use, that we provide for families, because unfortunately when abuse happens and those things, sometimes kids might miss a birthday or some of those things. So we have birthday, you know, bags for them so they can make a cake and, you know, do decorations and those things, because they may not be in their home. They might be staying at somebody else's home. So it allows them to still have that experience, even if they're not at home.
Wow. So what is Safe and Sound's hopes and dreams?
Well, I have lots of hopes and dreams. But really it's that we get to a point where everybody knows about our services just in case something does happen. But really getting to that point that we can do more on that prevention and advocacy end to really help families that are struggling so that we don't get to that point where abuse and neglect is happening. So if we can help families with more of their basic needs, helping them with stress reductions and some of those things, some of those stressors, that'll eventually help with the protection of kids, which ultimately will reduce child abuse. We know it's never going to be gone. There's always going to be circumstances that those things happen, but we really want to try to prevent as much of it from happening. And if it does, then making sure those kids have the resources so they can heal and thrive and move forward with their lives.
Wow. I have one more question for you.
Okay.
So, what will abuse look like in autism?
Yeah, and it's different and with different individuals.
Okay.
So child abuse is across all spectrums.
Okay.
You know, so nobody is immune to abuse, and unfortunately, a population of individuals with special needs, abuse is actually higher than in other populations.
Wow.
Because unfortunately, some individuals don't have the capacity or ability sometimes to know what's happening,
okay,
or the ability to share with somebody else what happened. You know, so we work with everybody. So when any case comes forward, you know, our staff goes through a lot of diversity, equity, and inclusion trainings, so that if somebody does come in that maybe on the spectrum or an individual that might have a disability, they're able to work with them so that we can hear their story too and their voice and believe them. Because unfortunately, sometimes people don't believe kids when they tell something.
Wow.
And we don't want that to be the deterrent. We want to make sure they have that opportunity to tell their story, find out what really happened, and help them through that process to make sure they get the services they need also.
Wow. So thank you so much for joining.
Very good. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. So where can we learn more about Safe and Sound Child Protection?
Yep. Most people are on social media now. So our Facebook page, we do posts on there of upcoming events and programs that we offer. And also you can visit us on our website, safeandsoundcac.org, to learn more about the programs that we offer inside the schools and throughout the community. And then also our partner agencies are listed on there too.
Well, thank you so much.
Very good. Thank you so much. Good
so
seeing
welcome.
You.
So that was Kevin Hyde about safe and sound child protection. I am Luke Trimwright, your host for 321 Connection, signing off, where everyone has a story.
Hi. Welcome to 321 Connection. This time we're interviewing Matt Smith about the Great Lakes Bay Veterans Coalition. So welcome, Matt.
Thank you.
So how did you get involved with the Great Lakes Bay Veterans Coalition?
Yeah, so I met Brad Blanchard, our executive director, around 2017.
Okay.
And we were discussing ways that we can help veterans in our area and kind of bring together some of the services and some of the ideas that different people had. And when I heard the ideas that Brad had, I was on board right away, and I've been a part of it ever since.
Well, so what is the main goal of the coalition?
So the main goal of the coalition is to help veterans and their families in the region obtain services and understand what services they're qualified for.
Okay.
And also there's an aspect that we do to bring patriotism and educate our community on the flag and on the history of the country and on the history of being a veteran.
Wow. So how do you find veterans that need help?
So veterans typically come to us in one of three ways, either through 211.
Okay.
If you've ever heard of 211, people can dial 211 on their phone, and it's kind of like 911, but when they dial 211, it's a helpline that helps them find services in the area. So 211, the operators will ask a person on the call if they or anyone in their family is a veteran. And if the answer is yes, then that information will get funneled right to us automatically. The second way that veterans come to us is through our website. And the third way is through just word of mouth, through just people in the area knowing that the coalition exists. And so when they hear somebody talking about needing help, they'll refer them directly to us.
Wow. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
You're so welcome. So, what is the operation Fill the Trailer?
Yeah, Operation Fill the Trailer is a neat project. We call them projects.
Okay.
But it's a neat project that that Brad came up with. We just finished our fourth year of doing that.
Wow.
And in November, primarily, okay, we get donations of money and personal hygiene items from people in the region, and we help supply the VA hospital and our shelters through, honestly, across the state. We help get those veterans personal hygiene items that they need, like toothpaste, deodorant, even socks and T-shirts, body wash, different things like that. So it started as just us trying to fill our trailer. We have a little enclosed trailer.
Okay.
And then it's kind of grown into, last year we had a competition between Saginaw Valley State University and Northwood, where those two campuses competed against each other to see which student body could collect the most donations. And it's been kind of a fun way to have a rivalry. And at the same time, we get to help a lot of veterans in need with those personal hygiene items.
Wow. Who won the whole thing?
This year it was Northwood. This year it was Northwood. So, but he very heated rivalry, and I see it continuing on. And I see those two campuses already trying to come up with ways that they can take each other out. So it's just a fun way to take our two local universities. We may even this fall have some companies that are involved as well, like car dealership against car dealership, or, you know, different credit union against credit union and different things like that. So we try to find fun ways to make it engaging for people to make those donations. And then in December, we take all of these donations over to the VA hospital in Saginaw, and we stock the VA hospital with all these personal hygiene items.
That's really cool.
It is cool. Yeah. It is really cool to see it happen, and it's cool to see how excited our community gets about it.
Can you tell us about the RUC 22?
Yeah, RUC 22 is another project, because we call them all projects. So the 22 in RUC 22 kind of signifies the 22 veterans a day that commit suicide. And so what we wanted to do was we wanted to create an event that would bring awareness to PTSD and mental health challenges in the veteran community that are sometimes leading to these veterans committing suicide. And so we started this RUC, and a RUC is for us 22 miles, because it's RUC 22, with a backpack on. And along the way, we have different veterans from our area that have committed suicide. We have boards with their names and their info on them, and we stop periodically. We have a moment of silence. Sometimes the families will come with us, and so we just feel like it's a great way to honor these people, and also to just bring awareness to and hopefully help our veteran community with the challenges that they face.
Wow. What was the saddest death that will happen to a veteran?
I think, honestly, Luke, the saddest situation for me is when a veteran lives alone and doesn't have any family.
Yes.
And doesn't have any connections. And so they just choose they choose to take their own life because of loneliness.
That's sad.
And I think that's the saddest for me. That's the saddest situation for me.
Yeah.
I don't want a veteran or anyone else to ever feel alone or lonely, like they don't have a friend or family.
That's really sad.
Yeah.
Can you share a story of how the coalition impacted someone as a veteran in a big way?
Say that again.
So it says, in the coalition, has someone been impacted by someone in a big way?
Yeah, so how has the coalition impacted someone in a big way? Is it okay with you, Luke, if I use a personal example of how they've impacted me?
Sure.
Okay. sometimes this story is hard to tell because it's pretty emotional for me. But, you know, when I read your question, I really felt like it would help people understand the impact that the coalition has on people in the area. So if you remember in 2020, we had the dam failure and we had the flooding and a lot of damage to homes on Wixom Lake and Sanford Lake.
Yes.
I live on what used to be Sanford Lake, and my wife and I's house was impacted in a pretty big way by the floodwaters.
Wow.
And I didn't realize in a personal way the impact that the work that the coalition does until it impacted me. And in the first couple of days after the flood, Julie and I were working on our basement. We had to tear everything out of our basement. And without me calling and without me saying anything, a group of veterans showed up at our house to help us. And after years of being a volunteer and helping other people, on that day, all of a sudden, there was all of these people at my house wanting to help me. And they were fellow veterans and part of the coalition. And it just really made me kind of stop in my tracks and think about how special that must be to all the people that we help if they felt the way that I felt on that day. So sometimes we work as a volunteer and we do it because it's the right thing to do and it makes us feel good, but we don't think about the impact that it has on other people. But that day, I was the person that was being given the help. And it really had a big impact on me of the work that we're doing to help people in the area.
Wow.
Do you need volunteers to work for the Great Lakes Bay Veterans Coalition?
Yeah, we always can use volunteers, whether they're veterans or not. One way that volunteers get involved with us quite often is we do some highway cleanup projects.
Okay.
Where we go out on the highways and you see the signs that are a memorial section of highway to a soldier that has passed, and we go out and clean up those sections of highway. Another is we clean tombstones in the local cemeteries. We go out with a bucket and a brush and we clean those tombstones and keep those things clean. And we see a lot of people volunteer with us in that way, and even kids, organizations will come out. We have a lot of people that volunteer with us for Fill the Trailer. We have people that volunteer during the ruck, all the way from supporting us as we're walking down the road to providing medical services to us. So we always love more volunteers, and there's always a way that we can get somebody involved in whatever way that really is meaningful to them. That's the big thing is we want to help people volunteer in a way that's meaningful to them.
So what are the hopes and dreams for the Great Lakes Bay Veterans Coalition?
Yeah, the hopes and dreams of the Veterans Coalition really is that we get the services to the people that deserve the services.
Okay.
It's always a challenge to help veterans navigate what services are available to them. And we really want to just bring awareness and help connect those veterans with the services that are available to them, and really just continue to teach patriotism in our communities. That's really our hopes and dreams.
Wow! Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, where can we learn more about the Great Lakes Bay Veterans Coalition?
Yeah, so social media is a great place. We have a Great Lakes Bay Veterans Coalition Facebook page. And then we also have a website that is glbvc.org. Sometimes that's a little hard to remember in terms of a website address, but if you go to Google and you just type in Great Lakes Bay Veterans Coalition, it'll take you right to that webpage. And there's lots of information about our projects on there. ways to reach us, things that we're doing, our community impact, and all sorts of great information like that.
Well, thank you so much for joining.
Thank you. You're
so welcome.
I appreciate it.
Welcome. So, that was Matt Smith about the Great Lakes Bay Veterans Coalition. I'm your host, 321 Connection, Luke Tremory, where everyone has a story.
This program is presented by a community producer through Midland Community Television. The City of Midland and MCTV are not responsible for the content of the program. The views presented do not necessarily represent those of the City of Midland or MCTV. If you would like to produce your own program, contact MCTV at 837-3474 or access our website, cityofmidlandmi.gov/MCTV. We hope you enjoy the following presentation.